Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to the only radio that matters. BBS Talk Radio. You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. Only on BBS Talk Radio.
You got that right. Irreverent, entertaining, and cool. This is Dr. Michelle on the couch. Good Friday morning. It's a beautiful day here in Los Angeles, high atop the city downtown with the sun shining. And it's Friday. Woo! We're all having a good time today. I am your friendly psychologist, Dr. Michelle. We're going to have a great day today. I've got some studies off the Metro News Service. You're going to love the latest research on some of my favorite subjects, sex, sleep, depression, the mind-body connection, and also coming up about 11:30-ish, I have a live call-in guest. She is the founder of the Spinning Light here in Los Angeles, and her name is Dr. Kathleen Lewis. She has an awesome center where she helps people just get in touch with their body. She's all about the body-mind connection and goes very spiritual as well. So she's really cool and easy to understand, not any of this, hocus-pocus stuff. She's based on scientific evidence. Quantum physics is her thing, and we're going to keep it real for me because I don't understand a lot of that stuff. So if I can understand it, you all can understand it. First of all, let me give you the call-in number here on BBS Talk Radio with Dr. Michelle on the couch. That number is 818-602-4498. You have a comment, a question, you got a problem, give me a call. We'll talk about it. Also, you can find me on my website, Dr. Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, therapy, therapy.com. Kind of a long name. I'm kind of regretting using the word therapy because a lot of people put it in there. Well, even though if you Google it wrong, it'll come up correctly. Did you mean therapy? Anyway, we're talking about the latest research in psychological studies today. I've got some goodies right off the Metro Newswire, and you're going to be blown away at some of the studies. So I like this stuff. And, you know, some of these are not necessarily true, but experimenters have tested them, and people and subjects, and they found some correlations, not necessarily significant results, but these are just suggestions, as we say. And according to one study, we're going to talk about sex right now. Let's get it off to a good start, might as well. Women apparently have fewer complaints about their sex lives than previously believed. Yep. According to a recent Kinsey Institute survey, they asked women whether they were troubled about sex, and fewer than one quarter said they have a problem. Fewer than one quarter. So you know all this BS, what they lay on the media about women and complaining and... USA Today reports that is significantly lower than a widely quoted University of Chicago study. Now, that study found like 43% of women suffer from sexual dysfunction. According to this new Kinsey Institute, no. And the Kinsey Institute director, his name's John Bancroft, he was saying that many women put sex on a back burner because of children or job stress. You think? But that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with them. You know, we're just waiting to get the kids off to school and come home from the work and waiting for the weekends and, you know, make it all nice and romantic. By the way, this is the survey that appeared in the Archives of Sexual Behavior. Can you imagine, you know, going to the intellectual libraries and looking for the Archives of Sexual Behavior? I think it's kind of cool. Anyway, so women are, you know, complaining less than the media would report, which I think is great. Here's another study out of Washington, D.C. from Metro Source News. Now, I like this one. It says, watching a sexually explicit TV show may improve your libido. May get you hot, in other words. But a new study suggests it may actually impair your short-term memory. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. Your memory's all messed up when you're... Right? Thinking things. Well, for the study, researchers at Iowa State University, what they did, check this out, they assigned more than 300 adults to watch either a TV show that was sexually explicit or of neutral nature. Okay, so they were watching, one group was 150 adults were watching sexual television shows, you know, those late night whatever, adult sex shows. And 150 in the other group were watching Animal Planet. You know, the migration of the wildebeest moose. Anyway, the adults were then asked about the commercials shown during their respective programs right after the show ended. Right after the show ended, they watched these commercials, and then 24 hours later. And apparently the people who watched the sexier shows had a much more difficult time recalling any of the TV ads than the people in the neutral program group. So, if you're watching these sexually explicit shows, apparently you're not going to have a great memory about what you're watching or doing afterwards. Well, we know what happens to guys after they're sexual, right? Okay. So the thing is the findings are published in the Journal of Applied Psychology. Just to let you know, they actually publish these findings. Well, it's kind of a no-brainer. The sexually explicit TV shows may temporarily impair memory. Temporarily is the word, not on a persistent basis. But anyway. So they're saying that you're really focused on what you were watching. And here's the dealio. They didn't break down the study in terms of sexes. So they didn't have, 500 men. No, actually, there were 300 adults. So they didn't have, 75 males. And I would be willing to bet that more of the men had impaired memory after watching the sexual shows. Because guys are all about visualizations and remembering what they just saw that was very sexually explicit. So they're going to be focusing on that for a while and ignore the commercials that were on TV or whatever they were watching or talking about afterwards, because they're still rolling on what they were watching, the sexual shows. And the women apparently did too, I guess. I don't know. But I think we're a little more touchy-feely and emotional after the sexual thing. That's what we want to do, is hug and cuddle and all that, and don't we? Usually? Well, usually. All right. Dr. Michelle with you on the couch here at BBS Talk Radio. More studies from the Metro Source News regarding psychology and the brain and sex and stuff like this. There's kind of a sad story I was reading, actually. It says, being gay or bisexual appears to take an emotional and psychological toll on many urban men in America. Researchers at the University of California, San Francisco found 12%, that's a lot, that's a very high percentage, of this population had attempted suicide. That's triple that of the overall rate of adult males in the U.S. That's a lot. Wow. Another troubling trend was also found in the study. Initial suicide attempts are happening at a younger age. The researchers noted that markers of coming out or identifying as gay or bisexual were really related to earlier suicide attempts, as were reports of repeated anti-gay harassment prior to age 17. So here's the deal. You know, our society is supposed to be becoming enlightened and allowing for other sexual orientations and all that stuff. Well, I guess not. Because there's still the teasing going on, there's still the stereotype, there's still the negative. I let people do what they need to do. You know, in the old DSM, Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, they used to have a homosexuality as a mental disorder. It's crazy. Come on now. Now, I know some of you out there feel it's people can change. I've worked with that population for many years in the past. And you know what? It's very difficult. You can't just change somebody's brain chemistry, and they're relating a lot of it to studies, DNA, brain chemistry, heredity, orientation. Of course, also, there's the part of the environment. If you grew up in a certain environment. Yeah, I have a client. Well, I haven't seen her for years, but her father used to beat her and verbally abuse her. I mean, ever since she was a child, until she finally left the house in her early 20s. She likes women better. Gee, you think? Her mom was always kind and loving and understanding. She was there for her. So she kind of turned to women because she did have some negative experiences with guys after that. So it's still kind of sad that, you know, 12% of the gay people had attempted suicide in America, according to this poll. Woo! Again, triple that of the overall rate of adult males in the U.S. That's so sad. Come on, let people be who they are. You know, nobody's going to change your child. Nobody, if you're so paranoid about it, don't worry about it. Our children will do what they need to do and want to do anyway. We just need a strong foundation, behavior modification, teaching them morals. And there you go. Show them a lot of love. That's the foundation right there. Okay, now let's move on. I don't want to dwell on this. It's too depressing right now. Yes, I'm in denial about things. Hey, girls, you want to meet a guy? According to the Metro Source News report, Nevada is a good place to meet a guy. I get a lot of clients who come in to see me and they say, where can I meet a guy? Where can I meet my kind of man? There's nobody in L.A. I get a lot of complaints about L.A. men and L.A. women. L.A. women. Well, here's the deal. Nevada might be a good place, girls, if you want to meet men. According to the Las Vegas Sun, 3 of the nation's 10 cities where men outnumber women are in Nevada. What do you think that's about? North Las Vegas and Reno are top heavy with males. A report on cities and counties based on the census in 2005 and other government figures shows that Nevada is second in the nation for men outnumbering women. Yeah, in Vegas there are, I like this, good statistics, 103.3 males for every 100 females. What's the 0.3 male? What does a 0.3 male look like? I don't want him. There are 103.3 males for every 100 females in Las Vegas. So that's a good place to go, girls, if you're looking for a man. The thing that I'm a little worried about, you see, you know, you got the Vegas stuff going on. You got the gambling and the mafia and the connections and the strip clubs and the legal prostitution, which, you know, quite frankly, I think it's probably okay. But, you know, you got a lot of men who are action kind of guys. Maybe addicted to gambling, too. So you got to watch out there. But it's, you know, it's kind of a fun city. I like the heat myself. I think it's nice. You know, I'm talking literally. I like the hot temperatures. Oh, did you know that Alaska, by the way, is at the top of the chart with 104 men for every 100 women? Why do you think that is? The employment. Remember the Alaskan pipeline that was going up? You know, there's all these guys out there. I think a lot of them have left, however. But yeah, they say there's 104 men for every 100 women. So if you can deal with the cold, extreme temperatures, girls, if you want to find a man, go up to Alaska. Or go to Vegas. You got your pick. I like that. All right, let's move on now. One of my favorite topics also is losing weight. Now this, couple of weeks ago now, we were talking about the stereotypes of, you know, you got your... the Hiltons, you know, and all the stars who are trying to get really, really thin and possibly disappear. And America's Next Top Model, they weigh about 85 pounds. Anorexic-looking women in the media who are praised for their beauty. When in reality, most women are normal and don't weigh that. They weigh in the normal ranges. But because of all that media stuff and packing our heads with how we should look, we have, I think, distorted body images. Body dysmorphic disorder, as they call it, many of us. I don't want to say us, but yeah, especially a lot of young women. They don't want to eat. They want to look fabulous. Like Paris Hilton. Don't you think she's skinny? You like that? Okay, whatever. Anyway, reading the study, again, Metro News Service. Ever wonder how much some people would give up to fit into a smaller size pair of pants? Are you ready for this? This may surprise you, and it really shocked me. A survey published in Psychology Today shows that for some Americans, thinness is an obsession that they would be willing to die for. Yep. This goes beyond eating disorders. I'm not saying I'm going to starve myself into anorexia. No, they did a survey, and the poll found that weight was so important that a quarter of the women and nearly a fifth of the men said they would give up more than 3 years of their life in exchange for being thinner. So if you could all of a sudden be thin, according to this study, you'd go, okay, fine, you know what? I'll give up 3 years of my life to be thin until I die. Ew, that's kind of creepy. Well, maybe these were obese people. They didn't really say. Because it's really tough when you're obese, because it's heavy to walk. It's hard. Your muscles and your heart's working fast. You're fatigued all the time. You have a lot of issues. Diabetes, high blood pressure, cholesterol, all that stuff that comes with being obese. About one-third of the U.S. population is considered obese. And that, you know what obese means? It means that their weight is 20%, not 20 pounds. Many people get it wrong. No. It's 20% above what is considered ideal for their height. 20%. That's a lot. Okay. Now, that means your heart is working overtime. So, according to the survey, folks said, yeah, I'd chop off 3 years of my life just to be thin from now until I go. That's amazing to me. That is just amazing to me. You know, there are surgeries out there for obesity. You got the band going on. That's supposed to be a pretty good one, actually. The bypass, all those things you can do. Or you can even have your mouth, you know, the thing they put in your mouth where you're doing liquids. Everybody else kind of like this, and you can't open your mouth to chew. That's kind of scary. But hey, if it works, I say go for it. If the doctor endorses it, do it. Whatever it takes to get normal, to a normal weight, not anorexic, not scary thin like Paris Hilton or any of those other media people who are so adored for their poor health. What else? Oh, you know, I like this. Sleep is another one of my favorite things besides the sex studies. I love these studies. Something I always tell my clients is to get some sleep. I mean, it's a no-brainer, but a lot of people come, I'm depressed, I'm achy, I'm not happy, I'm very emotional, my appetite, I'm just eating so many carbs. You load carbs when you're fatigued in order to stay functioning in the brain a lot of times. And people who don't get much sleep, by the way, they do tend to gain weight. A lot of people think, oh, I'm not going to sleep, I'm going to stay up all night, I'm going to lose weight. No. Studies show that we usually are heavier when we're not getting as much sleep. Okay, so anyway, where was I going with this? Come on back, girl. Metro Source News. Here we go. If you can't remember where you put your keys or the name of your new neighbor, it could be that you just need more sleep. Researchers from Rutgers University have found that if we don't get enough shut-eye, the brain does not have enough time to process the information we learned a day before. Therefore, we can't remember it. It's just another reason to strive for the 8 hours. Seven's good, too, of sleep recommended by the National Sleep Foundation. This study was published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. But anyway, I get no research on sleep. It's so, you know, we do. That's where the REM state, where we repair. We need to process issues. According to some researchers, that's why we dream. We put everything in order and process issues. And we repair cells and tissues and do all those wonderful things for our body when we sleep. We all need sleep. And the body will eventually go back to sleep patterns. Unless you have manic symptoms and you need medication to help you sleep. And that goes well, too. So there you go. Sleep causes memory problems. Another study on that. Oh, I like this one. If you get caught snoozing on the job, you might want to consider passing on the results of a German sleep study to your boss. The study found that when employees were allowed to take 20 minutes to nap or simply relax, the productivity levels went up in the workplace. And it became a happier and more efficient place. It was more peaceful. People were happier. They were in better moods. Remember the Einstein naps? Right, he used to nap during the day. He used to take little, 20 minutes? Is that it? He'd zone for 20 minutes, and he'd ponder a problem and go, I'm going to sleep on it. Then he'd come up with the answer. Anyway, other studies have also demonstrated the benefits of on-the-job power naps. Now, how many bosses do you know have little cots in the restrooms? I think they should have a little waiting rest area with little cots where people can just, you know, like kindergarten where we had our little milk cartons and our little, yeah, the mats on the floor. We put the mats on the floor just to keep the kids quiet for a little while. Take your nappy. Nap time. Rest. Johnny, be quiet. Lay down. Take your nap. Anyway, I think that's a great job. A great idea for a job, rather, and a boss. So if you have a large company and your employees are kind of out of hand, and maybe you should have a little sleepy time room, a little snooze room for 20 minutes. Time them. Give them an extra 20 minutes. Not their lunch break. Not the water cooler break. Don't do that. People do better when they sleep. Just resting and relaxing the body. No, you're not going to go into the stage 4 or the REM stage when you do the 20-minute thing. Not usually. I think it takes, what, 60 to 90 minutes to get down into that? Anyway, just relaxing and resting. It's like a meditative state. Meditation, you all know, really helps. So that'll be great. Oh, also coming up, I want to add. Let's see what time. Yeah, coming up in a little bit, we're going to have our special guest, Dr. Kathleen Lewis, today. She created Spinning Light, and it's a center that's fabulous for your health generally. And I love talking to her because she's very spiritual. She uses a lot of mind-body work. She's a chiropractor with a multidimensional practice here in Los Angeles. And just into quantum consciousness, which is based on quantum physics, which is based on science. Scientific evidence. You guys are, yeah, have you read The Secret? You know all that stuff, right? You saw What the Bleep, the movie? The Law of Attraction, you know those concepts? All that stuff based on quantum physics. What you think, what you create out there in your world, positive thinking. You know, there's scientific basis to it. Okay. All right, looking forward here to Kathleen Lewis, Dr. Kathleen Lewis calling in. What are some of the other great studies? This is talking about the mind-body connection. Did you know that losing a job can dramatically increase the risk for physical illness? And now this is out of Metro Source News as well. It says a recent study in the Journal of Occupational Health Psychology finds the longer a person went without a job, the more often they were affected by colds and other illnesses. It also noted the adverse effects of job loss and the financial strain that can last for much longer than the initial triggering event. So this negative psychological and physical impact may also interfere with finding another job. It's kind of a snowball effect or a cyclic thing. You know, you get fired, and then you look for jobs, and you get ill and get depressed because you can't earn money for a while, and then you go out on other job interviews, and then you get weaker and you get more depressed. You don't feel like going out, and it's kind of a cycle, and it's tough. But you have to keep thinking positively and give yourself a break when you need to rest and have some downtime. But also it's really important to keep thinking and understanding that y'all need some downtime for yourself. I think a lot of us just push ourselves too much. Gotta. We'll see. What else is, I think, really cool? The mind-body connection is really, really good. And, I like this study. I thought this was pretty cool. Metro Source News says keeping a positive outlook may help people live longer. You know that, don't you? We were just talking about that, the positive mindset. Yeah. By the way, this is Dr. Michelle with you. We're on the couch here. Every Friday morning at 11, rerun it Saturday, 11 o'clock. And we talk about just about anything psychological. Anything. I like to hear it. I am a so-called, and I say that, relationship expert. Because I have helped a lot of people in their relationships. Individuals with their issues, depression, anxiety, pain disorders. And there are cognitive behavioral tools that are effective. Always. So, you can contact me if you'd like. My website, drmichelletherapy.com, DrMichelletherapy.com, DrMichelleTherapy.com. DrMichelleTherapy.com. Don't worry about it if you Google in therapy wrong. It's okay. I do that all the time when I'm going fast. Also, you can find me at Doc Michelle. That's mine. Just write me. DocMichelle@AOL.com. DocMichelle@AOL.com. That's cool. Let me know what you think. And if you'd like to call in, too many numbers? Okay, we're getting you confused here. Too many numbers. 818-602-4498. That's the live call-in number here on the air. I just got an email. Says here from Jocelyn. Dr. Michelle, what were you saying about the positive? Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? I do that a lot. I'll be going on a story. I'll get so excited and I'll get off subject here. Yeah, happy people live longer, basically. So, Jocelyn, let me go back to that story I was doing. I'm so sorry. Just giving you contact numbers. Come on down. Love to hear from you. Okay, keeping a positive outlook may help folks live longer. Well, I'll tell you. USA Today reported a new study showing heart disease patients who stayed positive are 20% more likely than their frowning counterparts to live another, ready for this, 11 years. Uh-huh. This was presented in front of the American Psychosomatic Society. The study author, Beverly Brummett of Duke University Med Center, said it's not necessary to keep a permanent grin on your face. No, that's, you know, because we can't do that. But avoiding emotional lows will do. So according to the study, she had heart disease patients who did positive affirmations every day. I am feeling better. I will get better. I am getting better every way, every day. What is it? Every day, in every way, I'm getting better and better. Right? So she had people doing positive affirmations who had heart surgeries. And then the folks in the neutral, control, non-control, control group, just saying, eh, I'm going to live my life and complain a lot. It's hard getting up. A lot of pain today. I don't feel good. Oh, that person doesn't like, all that negative stuff. So the folks who were positive, did the positive affirmations, were 20% more likely than the grumpy counterparts to live another 11 years. How's that for mind-body connection? Whoa, that's a biggie. That's amazing. Another mind-body connection story I loved. Being stressed out at work could land you in the sick bed more often than your not-so-stressed coworkers. So the story before last that I read said if you don't have a job or you're fired, you're going to get stressed and then get sick. On the other hand, if you're really stressed out, you do have a job. It can land you in the sick bed more often than your not-so-stressed coworkers. Dutch researchers drew that conclusion after following more than 8,000 employees over a 3-year period. I love these Dutch studies. These guys are awesome. They always have some really cool studies. Anyway, they found that those in highly demanding jobs suffered from colds 20% more often than employees in less demanding positions. The findings are part of an ongoing fatigue at work study, and that's in the Netherlands. Oh, Dutch researchers, man, they're awesome. They do some really cool studies. 20% more often, those folks who were very stressed out, and of course they have scales of stress. How do you know, they give these people scales, like 20 questions or maybe more. They're called a Likert scale. You know, rate from 1 to 5. What makes you stressed out at work? Or how stressed out are you at work? So the folks that, you know, hit all the 5s got sicker more often. I think that's kind of cool. All right, mind-body studies. What else? Oh, I like this one. Here we go. Small changes in the hormonal stress response system, known as the HPA axis, could factor into chronic fatigue syndrome. Yeah, the illness is characterized by extreme fatigue, muscle aches, low-grade fever, sleep disturbances. They don't know about it or why, but it's the small changes in the hormonal stress response system. We kind of know that. If you're stressed out, you're going to get sick, kind of blah, 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 same old stuff. Now, I think we have our special guest calling in on the line right now. We have Dr. Kathleen Lewis. Let's see if I can pull her up live on the air here. Let's see. Get this thing going. Yeah. Good morning, Kathleen. Are you there?
Good morning, Michelle.
You are there. It's so nice to talk with you. How are you on this beautiful Friday?
I am doing great.
Good. This is Dr. Kathleen Lewis, folks. I've been talking about her, and she's an amazing lady, I must tell you. And whenever I'm around her, I feel very calm and real, real calm. I mean, you make me feel mellow. Just your presence, you know, you totally practice what you preach, I think.
And thank you very much.
Oh, you do. And Dr. Lewis, by the way, is a chiropractor, actually. She's also got a multidimensional practice in Los Angeles. And she teaches the most amazing classes. So welcome to the program, and thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you. It's true to be here with you.
Really been looking forward to talking with you about a lot of your classes, because I've been kind of building it up today and you know, talking about your healing techniques and your spinning light center and theory and philosophy and how it is really based on research, quantum physics, and you know, scientific evidence, which is lovely. I think people want to know, what's the science behind this? And boy, you have proven it, and you have an amazing center to help people.
Well, thank you. It's really a lot of fun to be able to let people know that there is scientific research to back up a lot of what they're saying about quantum consciousness,
mm-hmm.
and the capacity of the human mind and consciousness to create change.
Now, when you're talking about quantum consciousness, Is that like quantum physics? Is that where you're coming from, Kathleen?
Well, quantum physics does provide the experimental for explaining how it works. Quantum consciousness refers to the ability of any human being to tune in directly to the heart of the universe and create change and have an impact with their mind and their heart.
That's cool. So how maybe, and I know this is this is really a general question, and there's so many specifics, and I want to get also to your classes that you teach, but how can you tune in to that with the universe? I mean, and you said anybody, pretty much anybody can do it, but how can we tune in, and what are the benefits of tuning in?
Well, first of all, we are really hardwired for this. Mm. This is of our anatomy and our physiology in the brain and literally in every cell of our body. Mm. In your DNA, you have what are called biophotons, which are particles of light that emanate from your DNA and communicate not only with every cell in your body, but with every particle of light out there on Earth that's coming from other people and in the universe. And this has been shown that light particles called biophotons can communicate with each other.
Wow.
And so we have a direct access to information, and it's really on a subconscious level for us. Most of us aren't consciously aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you understand how it can take place, and it's a twofold process, first of all, you need to clean out your system a little bit so that you're not getting a lot of competing noise.
Hmm. Okay.
And so that you can really tune in and listen to the information that you can hear in that still small voice inside you. And there are ways to work with your brain so that you can be able to activate it as a cosmic tuner.
Hmm.
And that's what I teach people
now,
how to do.
When you're talking about the cosmic tuner, so that's, are you just kind of, to make it more simplistic, I guess, you're talking about just plain old intuition, kind of getting in touch with more of our needs, or how to get what we need to make us feel better and become healthier people? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, that's one level of it. And when you become sensitive to the information that is all around you, it can help you make better decisions about what to do with your life,
mm-hmm.
because you are in tune with the energies that are around and what's appropriate at the time.
Right.
You know, a big problem for many people is knowing when to push hard on something and when to let go.
Right.
And if you learn how to listen and how to tune in to the energies that are around you, and I'm talking about communicating from other people subconsciously and just what the universe is bringing to you,
yeah.
If you can learn to listen to energy and be in tune with it,
Yeah. Then
you'll have a better sense of when to push hard for something and when to just let go and let things to you. And that is a tremendous skill that people can learn to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can have more of one in life, but you'll know when it's the appropriate time for certain things to happen. So your energies are being used completely with the river. You're not trying to push the river.
Right.
You're flowing
right. With
the river.
Exactly. So when you're talking about letting go, what do we need to let go of?
Well, number one, people sometimes need to let go of the need to make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems counterintuitive to many of us. The need to make something happen the way you might want it to. And this is, I think, very, very confusing for many people, especially when you have movies and books like which talk about, you know, how to create what you want and make things happen.
Right.
It's important to use your heart and your consciousness, but be open to when is the right time for things, because things happen in cycles. And so you want to make sure that you are in alignment with the cycle of time that is right for you.
And that, to me, I think is one of the most common complaints and fears that I hear from my clients. They'll come in and they'll say, I have not met a man for so long, and I'm putting it out there, and I'm really trying, or I haven't found the job that makes me really happy, and I'm so frustrated because I've gone to all these interviews, and it's just not, I guess that's my destiny. You know, this is such a, I'm putting it out there, I'm working so hard. So, I hesitate to say, let it go. You know, I'm always
right. The
one to say, keep trying, you know, keep going forward and get more specific about what you'd really like. So I think that that's exactly right. It would be very difficult trying to find that, where is that place where you can learn when to let stuff go.
Right, because it may be that that's not the right time for something to happen for you, and if you are pushing to make something happen,
right.
And you can make it happen with your willpower, but maybe there was something that the universe was bringing to you, you know, that was really in alignment with what was better for you and your soul and your life in the long run.
Right.
So that's why I feel it's important to know when you're pushing really hard and things aren't manifesting for you
mm-hmm.
the way you want, it's time to take a step back, go inside,
mm-hmm.
and tune with what your body is telling you, what every cell in your body is trying to say to you about maybe there's something else you need to do first. Maybe
mm-hmm.
there's some shift you need to make that will then bring to you what is going to be more in alignment with your highest good, because it's not just about what we at this moment in time or what we think we want, which, as you know, is often based on old patterns,
right.
You know, that we've been brought up with,
sure.
But what's really for our highest good at this point.
Right, exactly. Now, that is a really a difficult concept to grasp, because I think everybody, I'm running out of time, you know, I'm getting too old, you know, all those old I'm getting too old, I need to find a husband, or I want to have a baby, or I want to. Everybody's running out of time, so they're in this frantic hurry to get what they think they need. So,
yes, exactly.
Yeah, so they need to kind of let go and get in tune with. Now, when you're talking about maybe they weren't ready, or maybe they have to wait and see what the universe is bringing them. What you're talking about is maybe learning lessons from what's going on around you now. What are you putting out there? And what kind of lessons do you need to learn and hear right now? because you may not be getting what you want. Do you think that?
Exactly. That, mm-hmm. Yes, I would say so.
Okay. I want to talk. Yeah, go ahead, Kathleen.
It's just really important to learn to listen because everybody's doing so much.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen really to what's going on in Zoom, what's going on around you, and just stop and take time to do that, then you'll know, you know, when the doing is right.
Right. Right. And that really takes, you know, learning. And that's what you teach in many of your workshops. And it's based on science. It's based on research.
Absolutely. There's been a lot of research to document the effects of the human brain and intention and love, because I feel they go together. It's mm-hmm. not just the mental part.
Mm-hmm.
It's the feeling state. And this is also something that I think people, when they're working a lot with intention, forget, is that the mind provides the direction, but the heart and the love energy provides the power.
Right. I like that. That's really important. You know, I was reading mind-body studies before you called in, and it just really rang true. And these are all researched studies with significant outcomes showing the mind-body connection. And
yeah.
the positive feelings and the good feelings and the love feelings. And I can't emphasize that enough. It, you know, the higher frequency thoughts are, those are the things that are going to make us feel better. Those are the things. And some people just have a hard time finding that because they're so heavy with negativity and depression and all the stuff going on that they feel that they have to do or dig their way out of. I think
that's right.
What, yeah.
And that's why it's so important for people to just take a few minutes a day, mm-hmm. you know, to whether it's meditation or some kind of yoga practice or, you know, even exercise is a movement meditation, something that just takes you out of your everyday consciousness and sets the space for you to be able to make that shift so that you can see things from a different perspective.
Right, and it's more like settling the mind. We're not talking about, you know, I think I'll go to the races. I think I'll go to a movie. I think I'll go to, because your mind is being occupied. You're not focusing on the stillness of just kind of, as they say, chilling out or meditating. And
exactly.
Yeah. So I would like to talk about your classes. You have one coming up on April 28th. It's called Quantum Consciousness. I love that. What a great concept. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. The title is Quantum Consciousness, The Truth Will Set You Free. And it's really about learning how to use your brain as a cosmic tuner, the way we discussed earlier,
mm-hmm.
learning how to be in tune with the world in terms of developing your creativity mm-hmm. in creating your life, and preparing yourself for the quantum shift, because I believe that we are in a cycle of time where things are really changing dramatically on our planet, and many people are seeing this manifested in their individual lives.
Right.
So there are things that we can do to help us to be in alignment with this change that's going on all around us and inside us, and to really make it a positive experience.
Now, when you're talking about changes going on, what kind of changes are you talking about, Kathleen?
Well, on a planetary level, we're definitely having climate changes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Earth is undergoing changes. The electromagnetic field of our planet is changing.
Yep.
The kind of cosmic frequencies, and I'm talking astronomy,
okay.
The kind of cosmic energies that are coming to us are changing from the sun as well as from the center of the galaxy, and we are affected by these energies, these cosmic rays that come to us. And again, this has been shown in studies.
Right.
And so the changes that are taking place there, and global warming or climate change
mm-hmm.
is actually taking place on all the planets in our solar system, not just the Earth.
Right.
So there are cosmic changes that are taking place, and they affect us as individuals. So I like to help people see, you know, the big picture and how it relates to them as an individual and their lives.
Right, right. Now, that makes a lot of sense. And these are NASA-documented solar system changes you're talking about. You're not just saying, you know, you're not just talking about cosmic consciousness and that, you know, people are going, woohoo. No, these are documented studies from NASA.
That's right. And so that's why I'm also teaching the quickening class, which is more in depth about explaining the NASA documented solar system changes, the effects of these changes in us, and how to connect with the quantum level and prepare your body consciousness to help make the shift.
And because of these changes, do you think going on, you know, in our world, our solar system, the NASA studies, do you this really affects us as human beings? Even it throws us off even more so. I mean, and this is, you know, because of these strong changes that are happening, it throws us off, and we're not aware of it.
I think that's very true. Mm-hmm. I think you may have noticed in your practice, and I know I hear this from people all the time, that so many people are feeling very unsettled. They feel as though there's no solid ground to stand on, that changes are happening in their lives, and many people feel out of control, and they feel, you know, fearful.
Yes.
And they don't have to feel that, because, again, if they can learn how to be in alignment with that inner tuner and that cosmic connection that's inside of them, they can learn how to navigate these changes with ease and grace.
Right, right. And it is the mind-body connection, and it's helping people in their everyday lives. And it's much of what I do in, you know, my cognitive behavioral therapy, humanistic, supportive, and all that stuff, all the tools I use. But this is a deeper study, you know, really based on scientific evidence. So the quantum consciousness classes begin on April 28th, right?
That's correct. And that's a combination meditation and lecture. I do guided meditation with people because it is a way to help them access those deeper parts of themselves. And I'm giving them information as well. So I like that combination, and I always do that in my classes. So the quantum consciousness class is a 2.5-hour class, and then the quantum quickening class is our class. And again, that's a combination of lecture and meditation.
And when is the quantum quickening class? When does that start, Kathleen?
On Saturday, May 17th, and that's a workshop, so that's a one-day workshop.
Write that down, folks, because her center is so successful, and she has so many people who have benefited from her classes, and also, she also has, you have monthly meditations, and I'm definitely going to work in this Wednesdays, because you have some wonderful meditation groups.
Well, thank you, and this one that I do, the monthly meditation class, it once a month on Wednesday nights, the first Wednesday of the month usually, and I offer it as a public service, so there's no charge for it. It's a donation basis. Anybody can come as long as you can sit in a chair with your eyes closed for an hour and a half max.
Sounds good to me.
Then you can participate, and so it's all guided meditation, and I do it as a way to help people come together to do what I call planetary service work. So we do meditations using that combination of intention and heart energy for the benefit of the planet, so, and for the individual, for spiritual growth, for making that cosmic connection. Sometimes we'll ask people if they have relative friends they would like to do energy work for, and then we do guided meditations for them as well. So it's different every time, and it's just a lot of are really terrific people who come to this, who really want to make a difference in the world and make better lives for themselves.
Oh, that's neat. It sounds wonderful, and it's so exciting. And I look forward to turning more people on to your classes to help them, you know, really, it deals with everything. It deals with, they deal with well-being, health, mental health, physical health, more relaxation, because it's teaching people how to really get in tune with getting what they want and relaxing, letting go, all those things that we need to learn in order to live non-stressful lives that are going to make us sicker. You know, and that's why I really appreciate your classes and all of your workshops. Dr. Lewis, how can folks get in touch with you?
My office phone number is 310-391-1452, and I have a website, and they can contact me through that, through email. And the website is spinninglight.com. And my new classes should be up there in the next day or two.
Great.
But they can email through that and ask me any questions, and I'm happy to help anybody I can.
Oh, that's so neat. And it's, again, folks, it's spinninglight.com. And you'll learn more about what that spinning light's all about. Right, folks?
That's right.
And, again, why don't you give the folks your phone number where they can reach you, Kathleen?
My phone number is 310-391-1452, and my office is in the West L.A. area.
Yes. All right, everybody. This woman has such a wealth of knowledge and a wonderful center, and she really is taking care of a lot of people and making them. The results are coming out so positive for people, and I hear such wonderful reports. So, Dr. Lewis, we're running out of time, but this has been Kathleen Lewis, and, of course, she is a nutritionist, chiropractor, healing hands, quantum balance, holistic care in general, nutrition, and of course all of her wonderful workshops. And you folks now know how to get in touch with her. And again, it's Dr. Kathleen Lewis. Kathleen, it's so nice to talk with you.
It's been a pleasure, Michelle. I really enjoyed it, and I hope we can do it again.
We shall. You have a wonderful day and a great weekend, and I'll see you on Wednesday.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
All right, Dr. Lewis. Bye-bye now. Yeah, once again, it's called spinning light, folks. And some people may, you know, go, oh, this is new agey, la, la, la. No, this is quantum physics. This is based on scientific principles, the biophotons, actually, all the light in the cells, the particles, the DNA, thought, mind-body connections. And that's what she's talking about, and that's what she is about, you know, with her center. So, and a lot of the new psychology is focusing that way. That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the mind-body connections. That's where it's at. That's what cognitive behavioral therapy is all about, too. It's you think differently. You do those things. You exercise. You take care of your nutritional needs. You think the right thoughts. You get enough rest. Sleep. Don't abuse yourself with drugs. Take care of yourself. You know, it's scary. We're living a lot longer these days. The problem with a lot of people is their minds are going because they didn't take care of themselves. But if you take care of yourselves now, start right now. Start today. Drink more water. I'm telling you. Just eat more healthy. Organic foods are good. I won't preach that. But and think the good thoughts. Stop dwelling on the negative. The more we dwell on the negative in the past, and despite psychoanalytic therapy, sometimes the worse it gets. And I'm not talking about denial. I'm saying work through the stuff, let it go, and move on. That's really important as well. Well, this is just about time to go. Yeah, this is Dr. Michelle with you on the couch. I guess I'm going to get off the couch right now. I've been on the couch today. I don't know about you. I've been having a great time. Our guest once again has been Dr. Kathleen Lewis. And she's awesome. She is an amazing woman, and she has her Spinning Light Holistic Care Center. Give her a call, people. Hope you learned some great stuff today. It's the mind-body connection. All right. I'm